Hey, Jonathan. It's always interesting when you see WordPress news pop up outside of WordPress circles.
Okay, like what, Luke?
Well, I'm part of a completely non-WordPress Slack group that got a lot of discussion over a piece by Sam Siddle, is it? About reconsidering donating to the WordPress Foundation. Have you seen this one?
Yep. I think it was about a week or so ago. But I found it on X and read through the piece. I thought it was interesting for a few reasons, but it was quite well written.
Yeah. It made me wonder, like, what is the implications? Like, if people are, instead of donating to the WordPress Foundation, what people are donating to side events, you know, like Do Action Hackathons and WPCC and other sort of WordPress adjacent nonprofits. Do people usually donate to the WordPress Foundation, or is that just an automatic thing?
There are donations. It's been a bit, actually, since I read because the minutes had been posted previously, so I read them a while back, and there are definitely people who donate. It's not substantial from what I recall, but there are people who are like, you know what, I should give to open source, and we're sending money to the WordPress Foundation.
Mm. I hate to focus on this, the Delta blog. It's delta.blog, because I despise the art style in all of the featured images, which is all AI generated. But
some of it's pretty cute, man. Have you not seen a picture of Pope Mullenweg before?
Yeah, that was something. But, you know, AI art aside, there has been quite a number of like great posts from the Delta recently, not least of which is the BlackRock devaluation post, apparently. BlackRock has further devaluated Automattic's share price. I don't actually understand what that means, but I don't think it's good.
Actually, so the piece is interesting, but I took away from this, I found it not that directly relevant, because there's a few points to consider. What it's basically saying is that BlackRock, who has to, this is as I understand it anyway, who has to report on a regular basis about the status of their holdings and what it considers them to be worth, has periodically and consistently reduced their valuation of their holdings in Automattic, which to a point that Matt has made is very small. According to Matt, it's 0.6% of Automattic is owned by BlackRock.
Right. Okay. But does a big company like BlackRock, you know, like my context is that I have a friend who thinks BlackRock are, you know, like the evil company trying to run the world.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe those conspiracies, but I think that's how a lot of people sort of contextually feel about, you know, oh, they're BlackRock, they're that big investment company, right? Does a big company like that saying something negative about Automattic, does that have negative implications on Automattic stock price and, you know, things like that? Like, are employees worried when this sort of thing happens who have a share in Automattic?
So, of course, Automattic is private. It's privately held. It's not on the public market. So all the shares. So it certainly could, but it is actually more, at least from my point of view, about how BlackRock is saying about their sense of the future prospects. Like, is this going to become worth more? And I think it's also worth pointing out that there can be perfectly legitimate strategic reasons for devaluing something. It needs to make sense and add up, but there are also reasons to, for some of these big companies, it can be very different incentives for being able to say, oh, this is worth less now, and writing off, like,
that's a good explanation. I definitely zoned out while you were talking there, but I guess, which is why I don't understand this. So I didn't mean that they were public. More what I meant was, like, you know, when you have equity, and what that equity means is that you have the ability to vest, usually you have the ability to vest at a certain price.
Yes.
Right. So that if the company does go public, then you have that locked in price. And I guess when announcement like this happens, I wonder if people are worried from that perspective. But whatever, I don't know. I don't get it. That's the point. I don't get it.
I think the more, at least from my perspective, as a former automatician, and I remember reading the, because as an automatician, I had the option to buy shares in Automatic, and they have a whole series of things that they set in place. I ended up not doing that. This is just a marker that happens to be public and happens to be from a company that gets a lot of attention and prominence. I think it is worth saying, this is my own opinion, that Automatic is struggling with revenue, like being able to show that it can make a profit, which is something that someone like BlackRock presumably is going to care a lot about and would be an indicator. Like if they're just looking at whatever Automatic is reporting to them and the prospects, they're like, yeah, okay, you guys don't seem closer than you said you were before in terms of being able to make a profit and or whatever those financial goals were. So BlackRock would respond by saying, you're worth less to us than we thought you were going to be.
And it's a variety of legal suits as well.
That could be a factor or not, right? But at the end of the day, this is a point where someone is saying that Automatic isn't on the track that they thought it was going to be on previously. And at least from my point of view, that tracks, and which is to say Automatic as an organization seems to struggle to execute on in more traditional commercial ways of evaluating things, which is, you know, to its credit and you know, depends on how you look at it.
So they're not on track. That tracks. Also, Automatic are now re-contributing. They're contributing back to track.
Nice one.
I tried. It didn't really work, did it? I meant like
it took a moment, WordPress but then track. It landed.
Yeah,
then
it sorry. Landed.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm tracking. And it's hard to see. Are these connected or are they not? You know, what was the impetus for them coming back around? At least one narrative here was that they had a period of time to improve commercialization and work on Automatic the business, and now they're coming back around. It's a hard to read.
It was like 5 weeks. I don't think that doesn't track. I don't know.
Hasn't it been months? It's been months.
Really? Oh man, time flies. Yeah, I need to get my
facts
straight
today. Wasn't it like the
beginning
of the year? I feel like it's been 4 to 6 months at this point. I could be way off, but it certainly hasn't been just weeks.
Okay. So, all right, let's go with that. Let's go with they have somehow in a few months, 5 months, I think. 5 months is what Ray says on the repository. Wow. And in that time, they managed to turn things around while getting there. Whatever revaluation by BlackRock, and now they're better, so they can contribute back to core. I'm not complaining.
Right. I would argue that these are probably not related events, and that the BlackRock valuation is only a news item because it's BlackRock. Like I would not be surprised if valuations don't add up from others. They're just not publishing them.
Yeah, we don't have to. Yeah, we don't. We can just ignore the BlackRock thing. Things are rosy at Automatic. And now they're contributing back to core. I'm grateful. I'm grateful they're contributing back to core. I hope that they've maybe learned some lessons about how they contribute to core and where. But I think the project needs it. And I wonder if this will affect, you know, we changed our policy on how many releases per year, right? We're going to do one release this year. I wonder if that's going to change.
From my point of view now, I hope not. I actually think it makes sense, even if I don't like how we got there. One of the things, I know we've touched on this on a previous episode, but what I've been hearing from product folks is like almost like a sigh of relief, where it's like, okay, there's going to be some stability in what they can expect from WordPress in terms of what they're building into it. It also seems to open up a more direct opportunity for these feature plugins that I feel like haven't had much of a go at it, at least from my point of view.
WordCamp Europe this weekend. Are you going to live stream anything?
I don't know. I haven't really looked. I think I've been, what about you?
I'm more likely to catch up on the sessions. I'm going to keep an eye out to see what the recommended sessions are and catch up on them later. Do you know if there's going to be a keynote address?
I don't know.
It's something I'm curious about as well. Yeah. Sad that we're missing out this time around, but I'm looking forward to hearing what comes of it.
There is one session in particular that I actually don't think is going to be recorded. So at WordCamp, the last WordCamp Sydney, there was like a roundtable discussion. It was a little bit impromptu, like organized the day before. And there was a roundtable discussion about the future of WordPress and, you know, contributions. I was there, and Wes Tatters was there. You know Wes, right?
Yep.
And
over at Rapid Cloud, yeah.
At WCEU, Wes is leading a roundtable discussion on the future of WordPress, similar to how it happened in Sydney. I expect maybe a bit larger. Kind of interested to see what happens and what comes of that. He's specifically arranging it around Five for the Future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Five for the Future has been interesting to me from the outset. I remember a conversation that I had with Josefa a number of years back, and I was surprised. Like, it's easy to make assumptions about a program like that, an initiative, that there's a lot less adoption in actual practice than I had expected. And I think that was at the heart of what was difficult about Five for the Future, like as a program and as a concept. It was easy enough for people to say, "Oh yeah, sure, this sounds great." But in terms of execution, one of the things that we see people claiming that they contribute a bunch to the project, and they'll throw big numbers out there, and it's a wild west in terms of what that actually looks like. And what I found was that the actual impact in terms of who was showing up and getting stuff done was a whole lot less than I realized. And I think it comes back down to, like, how do you operationalize? Interesting concept, but what does it mean in practice? And when you leave that to folks to try and figure out, it's, you know, yeah, it didn't go very well far in the past.
Right. So I guess what I'm paying attention to then out of this is I'm particularly interested in what counts as a contribution. And right. what this group discussion will decide sort of counts as a contribution. Not that that will make it official in any way. Actually, I'll come back to that. You know, does creating a plugin count as a contribution? If you vibe coded it, does I don't know, various other things, contributing to the hosting make team, you know, attending meetings like that, does that count as a contribution? Community training, running a meetup, things like that, are they contributions? So I'm kind of interested to see what the community thinks, at least in Europe, about that.
And I'm hoping we take a wide lens to this, because if I'm recalling correctly, one of the contentions is that WP Engine argued that, like, they considered their investments in WordCamps to be a form of contribution. Yeah. And so as a former count? Right, as a former WordCamp US organizer, it's something I've, like, It is a fuzzy line, because it's hard. Yeah, there's different ways to look at it. If folks were only sponsoring WordCamps, that to me wouldn't, like, I can agree that it's a form of contribution, but that's not enough to solve some of the resource problems in the project.
It could be interesting to say, by sponsoring WordCamp, this counts as 20 hours of contribution, you know, sure, or something along those lines for the year, or put some sort of number to it. Let's go to the premium tier so that we get the 60 hours instead of, yeah. The other thing that I'm interested in from this whole thing is, like it's all well and good to have a community round table and a community discussion. And I expect that, like, there'll be minutes. I don't know if it'll be recorded or if it'll be under the Chatham House rules. Is that right? Or how it will go. But regardless, how likely is it that what the community in Europe has to say gets considered in changes to Five for the Future?
I think it's actually pretty likely. I think I have a grounded optimism in the, as we talked about in the last episode, the work that Mary's been doing. There's a lot of people, like the people who are showing up at WordCamp Europe seem to be people who especially care about this. So I'm excited to see what does come out of it. And I think we have some reason to be optimistic.